Hi, I'm Rick Astley, and you're watching The Jeremy White Show.
An all-new episode of The Jeremy White Podcast, Tuesday at noon, available wherever you stream. Catch up on past interviews and episodes on demand now. Subscribe so you don't miss any of it.
Hey, there you go. Sweet.
Hey. Beautiful.
Oh, you're in a really posh hotel room as well.
Of course I am, Jeremy. Where would you think I would be other than a very posh hotel room? Yeah, I'm in Manchester for a few days, actually, so which is kind of nice because it's a stone's throw from where I grew up and everything, so I always kind of like being here anyway, so it's cool.
And by the way, I put the AC/DC lettering just for you today.
Oh, there you go. And I wore my really posh John Robledo shirt because it's like it's Rick Astley, you know? Well, listen, let's get right into this. Man, tour dates kicking off May 10th in Cincinnati, running all the way through to Los Angeles, performing at the Staples Center on May 27th, hitting to Toronto Scotiabank Arena on June 22nd. Incredible lineup, including En Vogue, Salt and Peppa, New Kids on the Block. But in reality, I think we're all going to see this man right here. Absolute legend. Welcome to the show, Mr. Rick Astley. There he is, everybody.
You've just put me in some very good company there. So, I'm glad to be along for the ride, to be honest. I mean, I'm fully aware of, you know, how big the mixtape tour last time was with New Kids, obviously, and Salt and Pepper on that one. So, yeah, I think we're going to have some fun, to be honest. I Googled all of us at the same time, and I was kind of going through all the kind of different hits that everybody had. And also, just the voices, you know what I mean? You hear certain voice from a certain record, and you go, boom, I am back in 19 whatever. Do you know what I mean? And it's kind of a funny thing.
Yeah.
But you have the most recent number one album, 50.
That's nice of you to have done your research. Yeah, it only went number one in one country, which UK. Is the country I live in, which is fine.
Doesn't matter. It's still number one.
No. It was, listen, that was really, really cool. And I mean, to be honest, what we're going to do on the mixtape tour is not about me playing new songs. So don't panic anybody, that is not what it's about.
No drum solos?
Well, I doubt it, you never know. No, I think to be fair, I've done lots of gigs that I would call like a trip down memory lane, if you want to call it that, where you've got an audience who obviously had some of the most special moments in life, thankfully to some of the music you made, do you know what I mean? And
totally.
It's kind of it's a totally different thing. But I think equally as just as enjoyable to sing new music is great. Of course it is. I think every artist likes to do that.
Yep.
But there is nothing that compares to singing a proper banging hit that you had back in the day and the audience going with you. It's pretty amazing. And like I say, when I went through the list of all the four artists' songs, well, the other three artists, never mind. No, I remember mine. I know mine. I was just pretty blown away. And pretty blown away. So I think it's going to be special.
I'm just waiting for you to get up on stage and sing like "Let's Talk About Sex, Baby," or
"Come On."
No, you're never gonna get it. Singing up with En Vogue, that'd be great.
Oh man, no. Well, it's funny. I've just been talking to a friend of mine who I've known for, I think we've known each other for 28 years, I think, and he's a record producer. And I couldn't really tell anybody about any of this. You know what I mean? This has been quite a big secret. I've not been allowed to tell anybody. So I told him, and he's like, "What?" And I'm like, yeah. And you know, so he jumped on the internet as well. And he's going through all the songs again and what have you. And I must say, the ladies from En Vogue, I mean, talk about singing and what, I mean, you know, fucking some serious voices there, you know. And obviously Salt and Pepper are just amazing. And they've got a vibe that I think they were kind of almost, I don't know about the original girl power, but I mean, they certainly laid it down in terms of, you know, girl power and power to women and what have you. So pretty, pretty cool, I think. And obviously New Kids, we don't need to talk about them because they just had,
they're dynamite.
Still are, obviously, a massive, massive career. It's crazy. I couldn't believe, I'm looking through the dates and you were just talking about it there. I'm just thinking, how many? What? Where? places in America, I'd have to struggle to find on a map. Do you know what I mean? We're going to go and play an arena. And I'm like, who the hell does that? Who the hell does that? So, yeah, I've done gigs in America in the last few years, but nothing like this, nothing on the scale of this and the size of this. So I kind of think it's a really nice treat to be part of this. And I'm sure we're going to have some fun, you know.
Well, I saw the I Love the 90s tour a couple of years ago with Salt and Peppa. Color Me Bad was on the bill. Montel Jordan. Like, it was like a proper 90s fest. Yeah, yeah. And it was just so much fun. And these gigs are really cool. So it's awesome to see you on the bill. And it's just a great package, you know?
And I have to say, I saw Rick, of all places, at the Corona Theater in Montreal.
Wow.
And it was terrific. I mean, it was just fun the entire night. And then he breaks into AC/DC and you go, this man's a god. Look at this.
Well, thank you. You're a lovely man. You're a lovely man. I think the thing is, don't get me wrong. I've heard people I'm 55 and I've heard friends and I've heard people I don't know. And I've heard artists that I do know and different, you know, talk about the fact that they kind of enjoy what they're doing now more than they ever did. And I can't say that's the same for every artist in the world, but I think I sort of grew up a little bit in my 30s. I kind of found myself a little bit because, you know, as a 21-year-old, having that first song, Never Gonna Give You Up, it kind of blew up, went crazy everywhere. Yeah. And I just kind of chased it around the world. I was kind of like behind it all the time. And I felt I was a little bit behind myself a lot of the time, you know? So the gigs that I do today, I kind of, every time I walk up there, I just sort of think, right, do this like it's the last one, sing like it's the last one, enjoy it, be in it, be actually in the moment and do it. You know what I mean? Oh, because
that Montreal show was spectacular. Let me just quickly ask you about musical direction, because you've done Everlong, you've covered Foo Fighters, you've been on stage with them, you've done the AC/DC stuff. Yeah. In our last conversation, which was 2 years ago or 3 years ago for the last album, you told me that you're a hard rock, heavy metal guy. So how did you decide to go into pop or dance or that kind of music and not be Brian Johnson?
Listen, there's only one Brian Johnson. Let's just say that right now. There's only one Bon Scott when he was alive.
Imagine and Rick Astley with David Lee Roth hair. I mean, come on.
Oh, that's hey, baby. You know what I mean? I can drag this up if I have to. I think the thing is, as a kid, I was a drummer when I started. That's what really got me into being in a band and playing with other friends and stuff. And the first record that I sat down and listened to try and learn how to play the drums was the album Highway to Hell by AC/DC, which I think was probably the record that really broke them everywhere. You know, like Muppets Like Me all of a sudden knew AC/DC, where you didn't have to be an absolute rock fan to love that record and the songs from it. And they still stand up today, 100%. You know, if we play that song anywhere in the world ever, and that's if we're all had a few too many drinks in a bar after our show and we get up and play it somewhere, or we've played it in our show or whatever, everybody knows it. It's just everybody knows it. And I learned to play drums to that record. It's one of the, I would kind of, not that I'm to be giving advice on drumming, but I would advise any kid, if they're thinking about learning, sit down and listen to that record and play along to that. And there's certain records in the genre of rock, let's say, I don't know about heavy metal so much, but certainly in the genre of rock, when people write great songs in rock, I feel they don't date. They kind of just last and live forever. And you can put a record on from 30 years ago in rock music and it still sounds like you should be putting it on the radio today to me. Yeah. You know what I mean?
So those are all fresh. The Mutt Lange records, by the way. Foreigner 4, Def Leppard, well, Hysteria, Back in Black.
Of course, listen, it didn't do any harm that we had an amazing producer with them on that record. But I mean, you know, you mentioned Foo Fighters and bands like that, that to me are still making music that is as current and is worthy to be played by anybody anywhere. You know, then they've been doing that for years and years and years. And I think with pop music sometimes it does sort of fade, you know what I mean? And you have to almost leave it alone in the dark for a while before you can go and look at it again and then kind of enjoy it again. Do you know what I mean? Because pop is a bit more instant and it's a bit more...
Yeah, it's in the moment.
I think you can sometimes get a bit sick of it because they're the big popular records. You just hear them like all the time. And sometimes you need to just put them away for a while and then bring them back into the light. And then all of a sudden you can have a really good time with it. And I go and see artists that, like I say, that I kind of think, would I have even seen them in the day? I don't know. But now I love it. Do you know what I mean? And because I'm a different person, I think, you know, and I don't have the hang-ups of being like trying to be cool or, you know, that was my hair. Look, I don't really care about any of that anymore. Yeah. I just want to enjoy it, you know, and again, I think one of the great things about this particular tour is I'm going to get to see places, you know, in America, Canada, what have you, that I don't normally get to go to. Do you know what I mean? So I'm really looking forward to that aspect of it as well.
Well, I want to come to soundcheck. I want to see you get behind the drum kit, just jamming out to Girls Got Rhythm, or, you know, Touch Too Much.
Back in Black is what we want to hear him do.
Yeah.
Let me just ask you one thing here. The internet has turned you into a megastar in a sense where you got the Rick rolling and you've got the memes and stuff. At first, that must have been frustrating, but ultimately, it's got to be good for the brand, right? I mean, ultimately, people know.
Totally. I mean, I don't think I've ever really been frustrated with it because, to be honest, when it very first started, I didn't really understand it. I said this in an interview once, and I keep seeing it in different things when people show me stuff about it, where, you know, there'll be a quote from me saying that my daughter put me straight on it and said, "Look, just so you know, it's got nothing to do with you." And I went, "You're right. You're absolutely right. It's got nothing to do with me." And she was like 14, 15 at the time, or whatever she was. And I kind of think she had a better handle on what that really was than I did. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's a bit personal because I'm in the video. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm in the raincoat. You know what I mean? But I think if you can try and extract yourself from it a little bit and just see it for what it is. As you say, there'll be record labels and PR companies around the world spending fortunes to try and get that to happen. So I just think, great, we'll take that. That means that young people, kids, whatever, around the world know that song, weren't even born, you know. It's great. I'm just all over it.
Have you seen it translate into anything concrete? I mean, has the record sales increased? Have concerts been more sold out? I mean, do you look at it and go, "Oh yeah, thank you"?
Well, we had 1 billion streams on YouTube with that song recently.
Oh wow, that's huge!
If you get your head around that, yeah. I thought, wow, that's amazing. And I'm thinking, well, there's got to be thousands of artists who've got 1 billion streams on YouTube. Nope. You know, there isn't, and it's kind of weird. And all right, it's been around a long time, but it's been around a lot longer than YouTube has. Do you know what I mean? So in one way or another, it's certainly done me no harm. And one way or another, I've probably benefited from it financially. But to be honest, you can believe me or you can not. I don't sit at home going about myself and about, you know, whether I make doing one thing or another. What I do, don't get me wrong, I love it when people pay me. I'm all over getting paid for doing what I do.
Yeah.
But I don't try. And my wife and I, who manages me, by the way, we have kind of a criteria list of things that we, when we get offers to do things, and one of the first things we do is like, where is it? Because if it's in Rome, we're going anyway, right?
Yep.
Or Hawaii.
Or something like this, where you go to places and you think, we're never going to get there. I'm never going to be going there on my own to do a gig. So let's go. You know, we're going to get 3 months in America. We're going to come early to America as well. And obviously we're coming up to Canada, of course we are, but I'm saying, you know, I'm going to go a bit early, see some friends, hang out a bit. I've already said to various friends that I've got who live in America and are American or English people and what, Europeans, look, the space on the bus, if you want to come for a few days, we're hanging out. You know what I mean? So yeah, that's the way we treat it. We look more at where the restaurants are than we do about the financial part. You know what I mean?
Well, you need a Montreal date if you want good restaurants.
Oh man, I'm telling you, we've eaten some fantastic food in Montreal. Just amazing. Amazing, in fact.
Yeah. And then everything else west of Montreal just gets more bland and bland and bland as you go.
Just wait. In Toronto, it's going to be crackers and stale cheese.
I don't even think they salt and pepper their stuff in Toronto. Eh?
there will be the night we come, don't you worry.
Rick, I thought this was hilarious because, you know, you do all, you know, you've done the AC/DC and the Foo Fighters and then all that stuff. And I thought this was hilarious because I saw you on the Kelly Clarkson show the other day. I was cooking with my grandmother and you were talking about your pre-show ritual that you and the band do a shot of Jaeger before you go out on stage. Yeah. And I was like, right. So this guy's just a proper rock and roller because nobody's drinking Jaeger.
Yeah, I don't know about rock and roller, but we, to be honest, we were doing a gig in Germany and somebody said, should we have a little shot before we go on? Because I think we've been hanging around forever. It's one of them gigs that kept, you know, we've got a technical, it was just going on. And we'd sort of reached our point of adrenaline where we're like, are we doing this or not? You know, and somebody said, should we have a little drink before we go on? And we were just looking around, and because we didn't really have a rider with a lot of alcohol on it, because there's not a lot of big drinkers, well, I'm saying that. That's not actually true. But anyway, we didn't have a lot of alcohol on the rider, let's put it that way. Not shots, if you know what I mean, or a whiskey or something like that.
Hard liquor. Germany.
Yeah, we're in Germany, and somehow somebody found a bottle of Jaeger. I wonder how that happened. And we just said, right, that's it, we're having a Jaeger. And we did it, and it was one of the best. I think because we'd waited around for so long to actually get on stage and do the gig, because they'd had problems technically, it was just a great gig, because we were kind of like, we'd sort of rode the crest of sort of like, you know, being totally into it, and then gone down a little bit, had a Jaeger and gone, right, let's go monster this. And it was just a great gig. So we said, right, that's it, that's going on the rider. And we've had one, it doesn't matter whether we're doing a breakfast radio, breakfast TV, live, we have a shot of Jaeger before we go on.
That's amazing. Yeah. Mitch, after the concert, we're going to go karaoke with Rick, and we're going to do some shots of Jaeger and sing some Van Halen.
Listen.
Hey, man, listen, forget karaoke after. We're doing karaoke at the gig, man. If everybody doesn't sing with us, then I'll eat my hat. It's as simple as that. It's going to be, I'm telling you, man, everyone's going to sing every single song. I know they are.
They did at that Montreal show. And by the way, that was one of my greatest moments. I've been doing this for 30 years, and I got to meet Rick backstage, and we got a picture. And it's actually my Twitter profile, because it's just...
Wow.
It's Rick Astley.
You know?
The last time we spoke, though, it was for Beautiful Life. Are you still doing new music, or are you just going to be, hey, nostalgia, well, perfectly fine?
No, well, the thing is, like I say, I've got a slightly different career in the UK. Pretty soon, actually, we're about to do some gigs here. For instance, we're going to do, I think, 10 or 12, and we'll do arenas. You know, we're not going to do as big a gig as I'm going to do with the guys and everything in America, but they're still pretty big gigs and what have you. And it's a weird thing, because like I say, we actually play new songs and people don't go to the bathroom. So it's like, we've got a slightly different thing here, if you know what I mean. And I wouldn't presume to even try to do that on this tour, you know.
Of course, it's the wrong tour for that.
Yeah.
Like I said before.
It's the head store.
But in terms of doing new music, I'm always fiddling about in my little studio, because I like doing it. I like being in there. There's hardly a day that doesn't go by that I hear something on the radio or even on the TV or in a movie, and I sort of think, oh my God, do you remember that record? How did they do that? What's the reverb they use? And before I know what I'm doing, I'm back in my little studio and I'm fiddling around doing something. So I've written a bunch of things through the last year and a half, and I'm going to see. We've got a few gigs to do, like I say, before the end of the year, coming up soon. So I want to kind of get those, you know, up and rocking and running and get into that and enjoy it, and then think about something else, you know. And then it'll be time to be getting ready to come over to your side of the pond, you know what I mean? So
right.
Yeah. And that 50 album is terrific.
You should
check it out.
I appreciate that.
Instead of the originals, let me ask you, with all the covers that you've done recently, would you ever consider doing like a full proper rock covers record?
No.
Never.
No, because, no, I wouldn't record it. I wouldn't mind doing a gig of it, but I wouldn't record it. I mean, I do little crazy projects all the time, and I do little things. I've got a couple of friends, and we have a midlife crisis dad rock band. Mm-hmm. And I've played drums and singing that, and I absolutely love it. I'm actually on Friday and Saturday night, there's a band from Manchester called Blossoms, and we are going to perform a full set with me singing of Smith songs.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that news came out a couple of weeks ago, and I posted it on my Facebook and on my Twitter, and people went, What now?
I think the only reason I'm mentioning that is because I didn't grow up. Like, I'm the youngest of four kids. The record player was not under my control. I listened to everything and just everything. I wanted the Jungle Book most of the time, to be honest, but what I got was Queen, you know, Marvin Gaye, progressive rock, just everything you can imagine, like most kids do if they're the youngest, because they get force-fed it, you know what I mean?
Right.
My sister got into gigs when I was 10 years old, went to see Supertramp when I was about 10, completely blew me away. And so I've just had a kind of a, like a lot of people do, I've had a very, very, very broad spectrum of music that I've fallen in love with at different times in my life. And other than the fact that, yes, my name's Rick Astley and that I perform, you know, and sing songs and all the rest of it, I still want to mess around with music and do other things. And I think I'm allowed and free to do that. And if nobody wants to come, that's fine as well. We'll do it in my garage.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So,
wow.
I think like I say, I think I've got to a point some years ago now where I just said, that sounds like fun, I'm doing it. And to be quite honest, that goes for the mixtape. You know, it that's just going to be, I said to the guys, actually, I said, this is going to be easy, man. Just look at the songs. Look at the people who are doing it. And they're all going, no, it ain't. but I think, I don't mean easy, because obviously there's a lot of traveling. There's a lot of people to entertain. I totally get that. But I think in terms of some of those songs that are going to be sung that night, and I'm not just talking about my own, obviously, I'm talking about the other artists, they're gonna take the roof off, because, you know, like I say, I've been putting them in a playlist and listening to them, and kind of like, it's gonna be fun. I think we're gonna have a bit of a laugh of it.
Absolutely. Well, tickets are on sale now for the mixtape tour, kicking off in early May, running all the way through to July, hitting the U.S. and Canada, all across North America. It's going to be an incredible summer of great music with some incredible legendary artists. Ticketmaster.com to get all the deets and all the information. And of course, Rick Astley, absolute legend. This was great to meet you this afternoon.
Yeah. Yeah. And you guys, nice to see you. Yeah. And lots of lots of love from the UK, and we'll see you in whatever, 5-6 months, I think it is, something like that. So yeah,
bring cool. it on. Thank
Hopefully you. We make it.
We'll find a bar and do AC/DC covers after. How does that sound?
I'm down. Let's go.
I'm so there. How in the hell?
Yeah, baby, come on.
An all-new episode of the Jeremy White Podcast, Tuesday at noon, available wherever you stream. Catch up on past interviews and episodes on demand now. Subscribe so you don't miss any of it.